Well, good morning. Welcome to all, particularly all the guests that are here today. Your presence is a blessing as we all come together to offer our praise and thanksgiving in the offering of this Mass here on this Sunday morning. One of our guests today is Amy Chang. She's going to speak in a few moments. She is a recent graduate of the University of Tulsa. She is now a lay missionary with the Focus Group. She's going to be working at Oklahoma State University to evangelize and to work with her peers on campus. She's going to tell us a little bit more about that here in a few moments. And also a special first welcome to Mr. Peter Watkins. He arrived on Wednesday morning at 8:06. So congratulations to Carl and to Ainsley, their firstborn child here today. Looking forward to his baptism here in a couple of weeks. My thanks to everybody who took part in Vacation Bible School. All the children took part, all of our youth and adult helpers. If you see what the hallway now looks this morning to compare to what it looked before, I have to just look at it and say, how boring. I was getting used to the drawbridge and the stained glass and the castle walls and all of that. And don't worry, that is, we're going to try to do our best to donate these items to other parishes for their use in their children and youth programs. But again, thanks to all who took part in that. And please know that our movie nights that we have this week, one for adults or grown-ups on Thursday, watching Cool Hand Luke, we're going to begin that stems from some of those listening sessions that we had a while back. To watch movies that may not have an explicit religious theme, but may well have a religious theme in them and a spiritual theme. So people are welcome to come on Thursday at 6:30. And for the children's movie, or the family movie night on Friday, seeing if you want to discuss afterwards the religious themes in that, we'll see what happens. We'll have popcorn at both nonetheless, as well as childcare. Please remember, a week from today is our annual ice cream social as a parish. Our feast day of our patron is this next Saturday, St. Mary Magdalene. So the talent show and the ice cream is a week from today, and we will just see what kind of talent again rises up to bless us next Sunday. I received word not long ago about the death of one of my teachers when I was in college, Professor Dave Robinson at the Forestry Department, Oklahoma State University. He was a fixture in the Forestry Department for decades, and he was known as being a pretty tough professor. He demanded a lot of us because he had a great passion for forestry and a great passion for teaching. He wanted us to excel. He wanted us to be the best we could possibly be as foresters. And there are two things that he said from that time long ago that I still remember quite clearly. One was when I turned in a project in which I had to do a great deal of calculations. We'd gone out and we had surveyed a stand of timber, and we had to estimate the board feet and so on, and I gave that to him for his review. And he looked at what I had done, and he says to me, "I'm afraid I can't see how you arrived at this conclusion." In which I was strongly tempted to reply, "Neither can I. Math is not my strongest subject." But I was prudent. I didn't say anything. I think that was maybe some of the first nudges from God Almighty that my career path was not going to be as a forester, but was maybe direct me into the priesthood instead. The second thing that I remember Dr. Robinson saying actually was at the first week of freshman year, our freshman orientation. Those of us that had declared our major in forestry said to us, "If you need to see instant results from your work, it's best that you go do something else. Go tomorrow to the registrar's office and change majors, because this is a career, it's not for you." He went on to explain that the work that is done is the type of work that often does not bear results for years, sometimes decades, and sometimes you don't get to see the fruit of your labor. That's for another generation. I was reminded of this years later when I got on that other career track called the priesthood, and I was in the seminary. I had an opportunity to spend a semester overseas in Jerusalem, and to see that the olive trees are a major cash crop. And there's a saying there that you don't plant a single olive tree, you plant a whole group, you plant an orchard or a grove, as they're called, and you don't plant them for yourselves, you plant them for your grandchildren and their children. Because often it takes generations for the olive trees to grow into maturity to be able to bring forth that harvest year after year. If you need to see instant results, immediate satisfaction, this isn't for you. Today we hear in Matthew's Gospel what is hopefully a familiar parable about the sower and the seed. Jesus talks about the different soils, meaning the different levels of potential for growth in the life of faith, our spiritual life. And that seed, the Word of God, is offered to us in an outrageous generosity, given often and to anyone. And that Word of God, who is Jesus, Jesus is the sower and the seed, that Word of God is planted in us regardless of the hardness of our hearts, regardless of our lack of cooperation, regardless of our willing to receive this gift. It's given anyway. This outrageous generosity from God. I think the parable is less about the seed and more about the soil, or even more important, the harvest that comes forth from it. We have that image in the prophet Isaiah today about the snow and the rain come down to bring forth the bountiful harvest. We have that image from in the Psalms today about the seed that falls on good ground will bring forth the fruitful harvest. And with this parable, let's be honest with ourselves. Perhaps it's tempting to say, well, you know, I've always been the good soil. You know, the rocky soil, the thorns and all that, the hardened soil, that, oh, that's somebody else over there. Let's be honest. There are times in which we have been the soil that's not fruitful. There are times in which we do hear that Word of God sown into our hearts, but we hear without understanding. Our pride, our arrogance, our self-righteousness prevents us from considering a different path in life that the Word of God offers to us. And also, allow me to point out, you don't have to be religious to be self-righteous. In an increasingly secular culture, we can see that a person can be self-righteous, unable to hear that there is a different truth, a different way of understanding the world. That too is hearing without understanding. And also, we can be so hardened by the experiences of life, if we get trampled on enough, stomped on hard enough, then we hear without understanding. We can also receive the Word without it taking root in us because of our indifference, because of distractions, or perhaps we spend a lot of time rationalizing our sin instead of repenting of our sin and confessing our sin. Or maybe we need that immediate result. We need that instant recognition for our hard work. And we receive the Word of God without it taking root in us. Or we can allow those thorns of anxiety to choke out the Word. A rightly ordered life is one that is oriented towards God. And if our life is oriented towards anyone or anything else, particularly if it's oriented towards power, pleasure, status, wealth, the values of the world, then we will have anxiety. And the thorns of that fear will choke out the Word of God. Because those values, the values of the world, are incompatible with the values of the gospel, and we are unwilling often to make the sacrifices necessary in order to become that good soil. And it's in that good soil that's the real test of discipleship. For the Word of God is given to us. The question is then, how does it affect us? How do we then let it affect others through us? How do we disciple them? And the results often are not immediate. You know, Jesus, when he talks about this bountiful harvest, he doesn't give us a date. When that 100, 60, 30-fold, it's kind of open-ended. Now, allow me to suggest, and hope I don't scandalize anybody here, giving a couple of examples about this, that things are not always immediate. Let me just suggest that children, upon receiving their first Holy Communion, are not immediately transformed into little angels. Although we may make a few exceptions here in our parish. Also, when we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit at confirmation, that doesn't make us instantly into saints. We are not immediately made holy by the vows of holy matrimony, or the vows of holy orders, or of the consecrated life. Sacramental grace does have an effect in us, yes. And the more that we are the good soul, the deeper that effect is. But it's not magic. If there's something that we're struggling with, a sin or something else, making a vow doesn't simply magically make it go away. Even in the sacrament of reconciliation, when we make a good confession, we are restored to the innocence of our baptism. That is not a guarantee that we will not be tempted to fall right back into that sin again. I think that's why the Word of God, Jesus, is given to us with such outrageous generosity to everyone, everywhere. Because that transformation into the good soil often is not immediate. It takes time and patience. And just because we don't see the immediate results does not mean the word is not having an effect. It does not mean the harvest is not coming forth. Allow me to give you another example. When I was in a different parish, not this one, we had a family in the parish that was consistently active in the parish, consistently active in the parish school, consistently at Sunday Mass, and they had a wonderful family, and that youngest child in that family was consistently, how put it this way, active at Sunday Mass. So much so that the family that often sat behind them would sometimes say, you know, I think, the dad would say, I think we should put an extra $5 in the collection basket just to help pay for the entertainment today. Now a little bit of word about active children. And because also this particular family of this particular active child, there were parishioners who did actually were like underneath their breath saying, why doesn't Father say something about this again? Now this child, he did kind of had an aura about him. He can kind of walk into a room, kind of strode into the room, kind of swaggered, kind of look around, little face on his face, like, oh, what kind of mischief can I get into? He's child's, the inactive child. But a word about young families, including the ones with active children. If we have young families, and we have children here at Sunday Mass, active or otherwise, it means this parish has a future. And if there are no young families with no children, active or otherwise, it means the parish does not have a future. And some of you tell me it wasn't all that long ago, the Church of the Madeleine, it was, well, that's where the old people go to Mass on Sunday. That is no longer the case. Now about this family, it was his active child. The parents more than once apologized for him. And my response generally was, don't worry, be patient, be loving, correct in love as needed. And also that family that made the statement up to $5 for the entertainment, those parents had raised 5 children. Who often were active at Sunday Mass. So they knew exactly what those parents were having to deal with. But I told those parents, like, don't worry. You don't know what the Lord is going to call him to someday. And now, fast forward many years, this child is now on the edge of young adulthood, and he has told his parents that there are certain things he is looking at and what he's going to do with his life, what the Lord might be calling him to. And one of those things he is open to being called to is the priesthood. So please keep him in your prayers. Because you don't know how the Word of God works in us. To disciple one another. And when that discipling others to bring forth that harvest, we must be patient. For there are times when the results are quick and clear, but often they're not. We don't immediately see the results for which the Word of God has been given to us. Like that rain and snow that comes down from heaven to achieve the end for which he was sent. Even if the results are ones that we will never see, if it's for the benefit of a future generation, the grandchildren and their grandchildren. For the Word of God, Jesus, is given to us generously in an outrageous generosity. In the glorious freedom, as St. Paul tells us, of the children of God. For we, along with all creation, we groan for our redemption. That includes children who are active at Sunday Mass. It includes those who are not transformed into angels after First Communion, who are not made saints at Confirmation, who are not immediately made holy by a vow. Those who spend more time excusing sins than confessing them. We're not immediately made holy, but we are called to holiness nonetheless. To be patient, to be open to that word of God sown upon us, planted in us with such outrageous generosity. For that word of God is given to us in spite of and to overcome the hardened hearts, the rocky soil, the thorns of anxiety. And not just for us, not just for our own salvation, but so that we can disciple others to recognize that that same word of God sown in us is sown also in them. That they too can accept this salvation and to become that good soil to bring forth the fruitful harvest.